share with you a portion of God's word. And before the sermon, I'd like to give you an update on the Haiti mission. We need to thank you, as always, for your support of the work. We keep telling you that without you, it would not have been possible. And if anything is true, that is true. So we truly thank you for all your help. We just came back, Marie and I, from Haiti. We were there and came back on November 11th. So we went there especially to help the congregation because we lost one of our brethren. He was very active in the church. He was one of the guys who actually was always there helping out. And he passed suddenly. And the church was really down. And we thought it would be a good thing to go there and help and encourage. So we were there for 3 weeks. And we managed to include it 4 Sundays. So I had the opportunity to teach and preach. And Marie and I, we visited some of the people who were actually a bit discouraged and encouraged them to come back. And so we did our very best. They had stopped their fellowship meal, which usually happened on the fourth Sunday, the last Sunday of the month, the potluck Sunday. So we helped establish that, and it was a good day. And also we have the Saturday club for the kids, and where they come together and they learn songs and play and also have some refreshment. And that gives the opportunity for kids from the community to come, and not just our kids at the orphanage. So we did that, and we also had some classrooms for some of the young folks that are very eager to teach and to preach, but who needed some help with their preparation and so forth. So we did that. So it was a good time there where we actually had the opportunity to be there, just be there and listen to them and encourage. And the Lord added to the church one soul while we were there. We had one baptism. So we ask for your prayers. And we also, at that, we were able to finish the project that we had. We had a project to build some classrooms for the orphanage, because what happens, as you may remember, these kids didn't have any, they had never been in school. So when they came different ages, but no school. So no school in Haiti actually wanted them because they didn't belong to any class according to their age. So we had to hire a couple of teachers to teach. But we were not prepared for school. We didn't have any classrooms. So we started last April with a project to build 6 classrooms. And we started in April, and it was done in November. So we have 6 classrooms now, and they are in class. And we also plan to use those classrooms for people from the community, give them the opportunity to come and learn how to sew, or whatever we can teach. And that will open the doors, not just for that, but also for evangelism, because when they come, we get to teach and encourage them. So those are some of the plans that we have. Please pray for us as we seek ways to work and serve any way we can. Thanks again for your support. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1 to 5. As you know, Haiti in history has had its share of trouble, and some of which are disaster, like the natural disasters. So we know what it is to have tropical storms and earthquake and so on. In fact, just before we went to Haiti last October, there was an earthquake on the northwest of Haiti that caused some damages and some loss of lives. So we know about storms. And I was interested in reading about what the U.S. Federal Emergency Management Agency says, that's FEMA. They warn that every year, tornadoes, hurricanes, and other extreme wind storms injure and kill people. And they say that causes damage of millions of dollars worth of property in the U.S. And they say having a shelter or a safe room built into your house can help protect yourself and your family from injury or death caused by the dangerous forces of extreme winds. It can relieve some of the anxiety created by the threat of any incoming tornado or hurricane. That's from the FEMA website. So taking appropriate shelter is critical in time of disaster. And we understand the need to seek shelter for physical disasters. And we understand that FEMA is encouraging, and we know how important that is. And you, I'm sure, have ideas how to have some escape, even if we don't build rooms in our house for disaster like that. But there's always it's always a good idea to have a plan, an emergency plan. They said in case of emergency, you know, do you know how to exit the house? And it's always a good thing to have the exit doors. And when you are on an airplane, they always say to make sure that you locate the nearest exit, and it might be behind you. So it is always a good thing to know, to have plans should something go wrong. So while it is definitely very important to seek shelter from the physical storms, it is even more critical to seek shelter from any threat to our souls, as Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. In Matthew 10, 28, Jesus reminds us of the need to take precaution, to watch and make sure that we know how to protect our soul. So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus, as he teaches, says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." So it is important to make sure that we are protected against any threat to our soul. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, the writer says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So we must make sure that we have things in place that would protect us against anything that would destroy our soul. Thus, the lesson from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1 to 5. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1 to 5. "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt." So Isaiah gives us an idea of what happens. And when I look at what Clark's commentary says about this passage of Isaiah, it tells us about Paul using this idea of Isaiah 25 in Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36. So what Clark's telling us is that Isaiah's idea was not just specific to Isaiah's time. But even when Paul came, he saw the need to reflect on what Isaiah said in Isaiah 25, verse 1 to 5. And so Paul, in Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to verse 36, carries out the idea that Isaiah has in Isaiah 25. In Romans 11, verse 33 to 36, Paul says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are the judgment of God, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." So Paul is looking at God and who God really is. And he is looking at the same way Isaiah is calling on us to look at how good God is. When Isaiah says, "Oh Lord, you are my God, I will exalt you, I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans from of old, faithful and sure." So Paul looks at that and says, look how good God is. And sometimes we know God is good, but we just go our ways because things are going well. We forget how good God is and how much we need to thank him for all the blessings that God has lavished on us, as the Bible says. So sometimes we just know, but we don't take the time to reflect and to see how wonderful our God is. Isaiah did. In verse 2, he says, "For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt." Isaiah is looking at how God did for him, how God would do for the people, and what exactly God did. And many believe that he was referring to what happened here in several cities, not just Babylon. But he looked at this as any city, any force that would try to stand opposing to God, then God can and has delivered them from. So therefore, strong peoples will glorify you, verse 3. Cities of ruthless nation will fear you, for you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in distress. For many, any storm, any trouble, the faithful servant can find refuge, can find a shelter in God. God is our refuge. And we sometimes, while we know that, but we don't go to God as quickly as we should. Or we don't even take advantage of our connection with God. We have an open line to God. Prayers allow us to go to God directly without any mediator except Christ. And as we were studying this morning, we don't need any other mediator. But Christ is our own mediator between us and God, and we can go to God anytime. And we remember that God is our refuge. When the storms come, when troubles come, when the issues we face are too strong for us, we can remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3. In Psalm 46, verse 1 to verse 3, we are reminded of who God is. Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3, there we realize that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is always present. Any day, any time, midnight, regardless of the time, God is always ready to listen to our plea. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, because God is our refuge, we have nothing to fear. So when we know who we serve, when we know that we serve the Almighty God, then we can praise Him. We have reason to praise Him. And I really am grateful for people like Vernon Charlesworth, Vernon J. Charlesworth, who can write hymns like our number 472, for example, in our hymn books. Hymns that reminds us of who God is. Our hymns of 472 tells us that God is a shelter in a time of storm. A shelter in a time of storm. That hymn was written in 1880. And when you read the words of the hymn, you can see that they are still applying today, because God never changes. So we know that God is our shelter in the time of storm. When I have issues, when I have problems, when I face any situations that I can face, I can count on God to be my refuge. So Isaiah says that God has done great things for the people of his time. And in Psalm 46, we see that God is our refuge, and though the tempest, though the whatever would come our way, we can still count on God to be our fortress, because God will never leave us, will never forsake us. So God is our refuge. So for us who are members of the Lord's Church, for us who have put on Christ as our Savior, for us who say, well, we are members of the family of God, we have reasons to feel very strong, knowing that we can feel secure because of God, not because of our own abilities, but because of God. So regardless of what issues that we may face, like I don't know what storms you may be facing right now. I don't know what storms may be shaking your foundation right now. But I do know that no matter how dark the situations may look like, if God is on your side, then you have reason to feel secure, because God is the one who can provide the shelter that will never shake. For if God is your shelter, you indeed have nothing to fear. For you have the Lord's promise that He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 33. In John 16, 33, Jesus tells us why we should feel secure. John chapter 16, verse 33. We are not like those who have no protection. John 16, verse 33. Jesus says that, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Peace that you will have is because of me. I've told you these things, I have taught you these things so that you can have peace in me. So as Christians, you have peace in Christ. And he says that in the world, you will have tribulation. Not you may have, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. There will be trouble in this life. You cannot come, you're born here and live your life and die and never face trouble unless you die the same day you were born. You will have some trouble days in this life. But if you are with Christ, then you have nothing to fear. So Jesus encouraged the disciples with these words, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus is our shelter, the shelter in the time of storm. So when the strong storms, physical storms come, people seek shelter in that room that was built in the house. Whatever that place was that was prepared ahead of time, where you would go and seek shelter from that storm. But when those spiritual storms come, when the trouble in this life come, then we don't seek shelter in friends and family members, in physical things, but we seek shelter in our shelter in the time of storm, who is Jesus. So those of us who are members of the Lord's church, we have that shelter. But if you are here and you have not yet obeyed the gospel, then you don't have that shelter yet. You don't have that shelter. Because the shelter is when you put on Christ. You are hidden in Christ. In Galatians chapter 3:27, it reads, those of us who have been baptized, we have put on Christ. We are covered with Christ. We are in Christ. So we are in that strong shelter. So you don't have this shelter yet if you have not yet put on Christ. Your sins have not yet been forgiven. But they can. In fact, that's what God wants. God wants your sins to be forgiven. He wants no one to be lost. God wants everyone to be saved. So salvation through the death of Christ has been made available to all. It's up to us now whether we want to accept it or not. In his song, I Come From the Loathsome Way of Sin, Hampton Sewell advised us as follows. Oh, hide you in the blood, for the storms are raging high. Oh, hide you in the blood, till the dangers pass you by. It's number 194 in the old book, Sacred Selections, for the church. So we are advised to find shelter in Christ. Hide you in the blood, for the storms are raging high. Oh, hide you in the blood till the dangers pass you by. So for us who have already put on Christ, let me encourage you to continue to hide yourself in the blood of Christ, regardless of what this life throws your way, to remember that the only shelter that matters is the shelter that we find in Christ. And if we do find ourselves in Christ, if we do seek shelter in Christ, no storms will be too strong for our shelter to protect us against. So you can be sure that if you are in Christ, you are protected against the shelters. But you have to go, keep going and seeking that shelter. If you are here, though, you have not yet obeyed the gospel. Why not today? Why not seek the shelter today against those storms that are raging so high? If you are here and you are subject to this invitation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing number
731? 731. Let's stand as we sing, please.